Hands up if you know why Phoebe wants to see me. I mean, that's an odd thing for her to want to do. Jay Lee. Sorry? She's my daughter. Yeah, she's my daughter and she's excited to see me because of that. Why else might she be excited to see me? Yeah, so she can give me sass. She's probably got some sass lined up for me. What's another reason she might be excited to see me? Katie? Sorry? She misses my love. Yeah. There's another. She loves me. Those two things, because I love her and she loves me, she wants to see me. She's itching for it. Take your Bibles this morning, turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. We're back in chapter 1, we're going backwards. We got out of there yesterday, but we're going back there now. Sorry? Last yesterday, yeah, that was. It was the last yesterday we ever had, wasn't it? Have you had another yesterday? That's the last yesterday. Yesterday was the last yesterday I had. It wasn't the first yesterday I've ever had, but it is the last yesterday I've ever had. Philippians 1:9, if you think about that too much, it'll hurt your brain. Did I? 1:6 is where we need to be. Well done. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We've talked about the Lord beginning a work. We've talked about him performing a work. And the Bible says here when he'll perform it too. It says he'll perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. All right, let's have a Bible race. Are you ready? Close your Bibles up. You're going to hate me. Close it up. Philippians 1:9. Who can get there? You got to be. Show. Stand up. Show me. Read it. All right, so I need you to read it so Clem can hear it in the kitchen. No. Come on, Clem's got to hear it in the kitchen. He's gone into the pantry now. It's even harder for you. Keep going. Go over verse 10. That you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. You got to get the ball off Jim over here. It's Jim, isn't it? We've been looking at this list of things that God wants us to be, that our love would abound more and more, that it would abound in knowledge and in all judgment, that we may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. God's working on you, and he's working on you till the day of Christ. And he's working on you that your love might abound, your love might abound in knowledge and judgment, that you could be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. This day of Christ just keeps on coming up a bit. It's repeated a couple of times here. Let's have a look at just a couple of things about this passage. It says in verse 10, that you may be sincere. What's sincerity? I'll give you the red one back in a minute, but I just got some questions. What is sincerity? Anyone else? Quick. Honesty. Oh, that nearly got you. You had a... being truthful? Chris? Not holding anything back, so it's just all out there? It's not half-hearted? Yeah, okay. Anyone else got something extra to add? Into the light. That's a good description of it. I like that. Being put out into the light. All right. Sincere. Go with me. You ready? Here you go, Jim. See if you can win the ball off Jim. Close your Bibles. Ephesians 6:24. Ephesians 6:24. Man. Oh, no, you're still turning pages. Sit down, brother. Did you have it? You were up? Ephesians 6:20. No, if you don't know it, you don't got it. It's 6:24. Becca must have it. Throw the ball to Becca. That's all right. You've got to be at the verse. Don't stand up till you're at the verse. Wind got you. Becca, let's go. Ephesians 6:24. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ with sincerity. In the context of this passage, you know what sincerity is attached to? It's attached to love. It's attached, you might say, to your motivation. Taking your motivation out into the light that you can have a good look at it and see what's really motivating you. Because it's that your love would abound in knowledge and judgment, that you might be sincere. Your sincerity is attached to the reason you're doing something. Is that a love? My wife's birthday is coming up. I'm thinking she might need a new cordless drill. That's what I'm thinking. Is my motive really sincere? Why isn't my motive sincere, Faith? It'd probably be more for me. It might be. Of course, the whole point of that is my wife and I do a little few projects together, fixing up a bit of furniture here and there, and we've been talking for about 3 years now. We're getting some new power tools. So in this case, I could be sincere. But the appearance is, yeah, that's not really for her, that's for you. And I got to be honest, I'd be a bit divided. Who am I really buying this for, her or for me, right? So sincerity in this aspect is your love. Is that really why you're doing something? The Lord says here that your love may abound more and more. That the reason you're serving God, the reason you're doing something for other people is not for anything other than yourself. Is that right? You're nodding your head because you aren't listening. What did I just say? That your reason for doing what you do is for yourself. No, it can't be for you. It's got to be none of you and all of Christ. You know what God's going to ask you to do? He's going to ask you to go to Nineveh when you can't stand Ninevites. When I got saved at a place called Injun, as I told you, but it was in December that I got saved, not in June. And when I got right with the Lord out there, the Lord made it very plain that he needed me to move to Tanum Sands on the coast. And I said, Lord, 5 years. I'll go to the coast for 5 years and I'm done. I ain't living on the coast, sucking in salt air. I want to be inland Australia. And he took me to the coast. That was 20 years ago. I think I lost that argument. Now, I love the people. I love where God's got me. I wouldn't be anywhere else. But I'd rather, location, country-wise, I'd rather be out west than on the coast. But God says, it's not about what you want. It's about me. He tests our sincerity. Do you love him? The sincerity of your love. But the Bible says here that in Philippians 1:9 that you may be sincere and without offense. So sincere is, it's attached to our motive, to our reason for doing something. Without offense, that's attached to our performance. Close your Bibles. Let's see if we can get this this ball off Becca. You ready? Acts 24:16. Acts 24:16. Oh, no, you're still turning pages, big fella. No. She was up and not turning pages. Sit your rear end down. Becca's quick this morning. She must have had her Weet-Bix. No? What do we got, Becca? Acts 24:16.
And
Herein do I exercise myself, having a conscience that is void of offense. There is nothing I've done, said, believed. Paul is talking about his doctrine, about how he walks. He's given an answer to everybody, to the people that are questioning him, about what he believes and what he does. And he says, you know, when it comes to what I believe, what I do, how I go about my life, he said, my conscience is clear. Hands up if you've ever gone to bed with a troubled conscience. All right. The rest of you will probably go to bed with a troubled conscience tonight for lying to me this morning. It's not nice when our conscience is troubled. And you know, sometimes things hang on us. I got something I didn't do 23 years ago that still plagues my conscience. I think about that and I think, I didn't do what I should have done, and that troubles me. What do you think might trouble me that it's been troubling me for 23 years? What might that be that would be troubling me? Got some guesses? Oh, that was for Sam. What might it be? Sam, you know? You got an answer? Yeah, I wasn't saved, but I think you're talking about all the sin I did when I wasn't saved, right? Yeah, no, that troubles me, but that's not what I'm thinking of. Anyone else? Clem knows the answer. That's why he's busting over there. I was talking to him about this morning. Anyone else? Got a guess? Yeah. As an old lady, had about 25 people in her house, and I'd eaten dinner there, and she was up washing dishes, and I didn't help her do the dishes. And that still grates on me. She's probably gone on out of this world now. And it just troubles me every now and then. I had a chance to do some dishes that I didn't do. Now, hands up if you like doing dishes. You are weird people. Okay, that's just strange. But you know, generally speaking, I try and get out of dishes, especially when I was a kid. But I tell you what, it's not worth 25 years of a troubled conscience. I'd go back and do them dishes in a heartbeat. 10 minutes work to have a clear conscience. Our conscience is attached to our performance, to what we've done. And Paul says, I have a clear conscience. But this sincerity, this clear conscience, that abiding in love and our love abounding, it says till the day of Christ. Now that's attached to our expectation. Becca, you better be quick. We got 5 verses, so there's lots of chances where then you're gonna lose it. You were just in Acts 24. So close your Bibles. Let's have a look at this till the day of Christ. John 14:1. John 14:1. Oh, snap. John 14:1-3. Becca? Yep, verse 1-3. You're going to give up doing it because you're sick of reading verses. There's a day of Jesus Christ when he's coming again. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I left home and I said to my little girl, I said, I'm coming back. I'll be back in a week. She says to me, she didn't ask me this time, but when we go away, she says, how many sleeps? How long's that? I tell her how many Sundays or how many breakfasts or something she can get a head around. And you know what she does? She waits for that. She expects my return. Why? Because I said I'm coming back. And she trusts me. And unless the Lord wipes me out on the Bruce Highway on the way home, I plan on coming back. And you know, I'll probably let Tekoa do some driving, so there's a chance I'll die. You know, there's a chance. But I know where I'm going, so that's okay. Jesus said, I will come again. Close your Bibles. You ready? Acts 1:9. Sambo, Acts 1:9. 9 through 11, buddy. Got to give Sambo the ball. Throw it over to him. Acts 1:9. 9 through 11. That's him. Good job. So Jesus ascended up into heaven, and as he ascended up, those disciples, they're sitting there like this. They go, then these other fellas come along and go, why are you standing there gazing into heaven? And they're like, shh, shh. They said, this same Jesus that ascended up in heaven will so come in like manner. My little girl is going to be sitting at our house, and every now and then, she's going to go and look in the mailbox to see if I'm in there, right? Why isn't she going to look in the mail? Because I didn't leave in the mailbox. She's not expecting me to come back that way. So every now and then, she's going to go into the sink and turn the tap on and see if I pop out of the tap with the water. No, that's not how it happens. I'm coming back in the form I left in. You know what you should be doing every now and then? Every now and then, you should be stepping outside and just having a look up. Because you're expecting him to come back. You're waiting on his return. Jesus said, I'm coming in the same manner that I went. And he went up, physically up into the clouds, and the clouds received him up into the air. And they said, in the manner he went up, he said, I will come again. And I just want you to know I'm coming back the way I left. Close your Bibles. You ready? Got to get it off Sambo. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. First Thessalonians 4:13. Go, Sam. Sorry, you got a lot to read. With the voice. You ever seen the violence of an archangel? That might be a fearful thing. But he's coming back with the voice of the archangel. Yeah. He said he's coming back. He said, you gotta watch and wait and don't be sorrowful. And he said, comfort one another with these words. He says, these are the things that are supposed to bring you comfort. You know when it gets tough? As a Christian, that you guys have been walking with the Lord for a while, does it get tough? Have you had some times where you go, this kind of sucks. This is tough. Oh, you bunch of spiritual people. I've had days like that where I've gone, man, this is hard. What God is asking for me, it's hard. Now, in my heart, I'm rejoicing and glad and grateful. But I tell you what, in my flesh, I'm going, this ain't fun. this is tough work. I got to endure this. There's a thing there. Sound doctrine, proper Bible teaching. You go, this is a bit boring. It wasn't supposed to be exciting. Not proper Bible teaching. You're supposed to endure sound doctrine. You know what that means? That means it's going to take some patience to sit through it. I just don't like what the Bible teaches there. Well, you didn't have to like it. I tell my kids that all the time. I say, I don't like this food. I say, that's all right. You don't have to like it. You just have to eat it. There's a big difference. You know, God says the same thing to us sometimes. You don't have to like everything I do. You just got to abide by it. That's just the way it is. I'm not going to change it just because you don't like it. Comfort one another with these words. Hands up if you've answered my question. Do you love Christ? I don't need to know what your answer is, but just hands up if you know whether you love Christ or not. You don't have to tell me, like, no one's going to know what your answer is. You can just go, yeah, I've answered that. I've thought about that and I've given an answer. Good job. For those of you, when I'm showing hands, I just want you to, for those of you that go that have answered that, I do love him, then let me go to this next verse. You ready? Close your Bibles. Let's see if you can get it off Sambo. Are they all closed up? 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7. He's got it again. No, he's still turning pages. Takao's got it. He's been up and patiently waiting for you to decide whether you were lying or not. 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8. You know what Paul said? He said, there's something I love. He said, I love the day that Christ will appear. I'm hanging out for that day. There's some days you guys love. There's some days of the year you look forward to. What's some days of the year you look forward to? What do we got? Faith? Can I have that for a minute? You'll get it back. Your birthday? Up the back, boys. Fridays. I like Fridays are good days. Yep. Your birthday? Yep. New Year's Eve. Keep them coming. Make them quick. Christmas and Easter. The day you leave for a holiday. That's a good day. All right, last one here. The holidays. The day, the start of the holidays. There's days we love. Paul said there's a day I love. And it's the day that Christ is coming back. I'm hanging out for that day. I'm looking for that day. I'm excited about that day. You know what? I bet you when you're getting excited about your birthday, you start pestering people about your birthday. The day after your birthday, I've got a birthday list for next year. Would you care to know what it is? My birthday's coming up. I think this is what I might want. My birthday this, my birthday that, Christmas this, Christmas that, holidays this, what are we doing for the holidays? This day, that day, the grand finals, whatever it might be, we talk about it because we're excited about it and it's coming up and Christ is returning and you know what? We don't say peep about it. You're not stirred about it. You're not excited about it. Oh, you're excited about what you might do for God and what you might do on this life, but you lose sight of what God's doing for you. He's coming back. You know why you might get excited about what you're doing for God? It's probably not sincere love for God. What he might use me for. But when he's coming back, that's just excited about him. About the Lord's return. Last one. Close your Bibles. You ready? Golden point. Golden goal. Hebrews 12. Verse 1. Hebrews 12. Oh, Lily! Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Mrs. Smith can't hear you. She still can't hear you. No, she can't hear you. Mrs. Smith might be getting a little bit deaf, but she can't hear you. Cool. Make sure you find me. Look for me. Look for me. Whoa, look! Thought I was coming there, but I came through there. Did you keep up? But you were keen. Like, where's he gone? What's he doing? You weren't nearly as confused as they were out there. Like, what? Just a bit of fun. A little bit of excitement. Something different. You were looking. You looked for me, and I done nothing for you. Really, I ain't done nothing for you. But Christ, he's done an awful lot. You looking for him? You love him? You say, you know, I think that's for mature Christians. My little girl's looking for me because she loves me. She loves my appearing. I need to run more. Guys, don't lose sight of Christ. Look for his appearing. Talk to one another about the fact he's coming back. Talk to each other about which window he's going to jump through, which cloud he's going to appear from behind. It's an overcast day today. I wonder if you'll appear in the clouds today. Step out and have a look up every now and then. See if you can be the first to see Jesus. I heard a story yesterday about a man, and he goes out sharing the gospel every day, telling people about Jesus. You know what he's looking for? He's hoping that he'll be able to kneel down with somebody on the street one day, share the gospel with them, see them gloriously and miraculously translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Say amen as they cry out to the Lord, and boom, have Christ come down and see Christ return and snatch them up in the clouds when that last sinner's come home. Are you looking for his return? You need to be. You need to be anticipating it. And if you're not, if it means nothing to you that Christ is coming back, but you put down, I love him, maybe you better rethink that question. Because if you love him, but you don't care when he's coming back, that's an awful strange sort of love, isn't it? If my little girl was like, hi, Dad, I'd be like, I'm heartbroken. I'm hanging out for her tearing down the stairs when she sees me come up the driveway. I won't have to go looking for her. But you know what happens once you get old in the faith? We sometimes get serious in the faith, which is a good thing. And we lose that childlike faith, that anticipation of just hanging out for the return of our friend, our Savior, and our King. Look for his return, guys. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you you're coming back, Lord. I pray you be with us. Remind us, Lord. Let us look up, looking for your return, looking for you to come back the same way you went up, coming back for us. I thank you, Lord. I pray you be with us. Remind us of these things. And Lord, let us remind one another. And Lord, those little kids across the way, I pray you speak to them this morning. I pray they hear the sound of your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know where all your camp leaders are or what's going to happen. What do we got? It's 5 past. Keep talking. All right, got any questions, guys? Any questions? No questions? Sam? Yeah. Okay, yeah, I hear what you're saying, yeah. Yeah. So I was talking to Mr. Risher about questions like this the other day. These questions we have, no, the more eloquent Mr. Risher, the more aged Mr. Risher. He's a knowledgeable man. And he said this. He said, sometimes people ask questions where the answer needs to be this. That's a really good question. And I think you should study the Bible, and I'll go and study the Bible, and we'll see if we can come up with an answer for that. And I think that's one of those questions that perhaps we'll not know a definite answer to, but I do know this. There's no sorrow in heaven. There's no sadness. Have you ever seen someone get in trouble and felt bad for them? Thinking, gee, that's a bit rough. All right, keep your hands up. If you can also think of a time, or put your hands back up, if you can also think of a time where you felt sorry for someone getting in trouble until you found out what they did and you went, oh, well, in that case. Yeah. Your perspective changed. You understood that the judgment was just and right. And you went, they should be getting that. I don't feel bad for them anymore. I don't know whether we will know about people's suffering and what they're going through and how all that works. But I do know that we will know him even as he knows us. I do know that we will see things through God's eyes, not our eyes. And so therefore it won't be the horror that we might think it'll be here. We'll understand it. Does that make sense? But you should ask your pastor. He's probably got a better answer for that. He didn't get it. Anyone else? Even if we're what? So what the passage Sam read out was talking about them which are asleep, we will not prevent them which are asleep. So if we're alive, those that are asleep are talking about who's about some Christians that are dead. Now you probably all heard of Charles Spurgeon, right? He's an old Christian that's dead. He's not doing much anymore. But he's asleep in Jesus. In as much as, you know, what that means is simply his body's dead and in the grave, and he's in the presence of the Lord. But when Jesus comes back, his body is going to be brought up out of the grave, and all those that have died in faith in the finished work of Christ will be snatched up out of the grave, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with him in the air. So it's kind of like they go first and then we follow on. Last question, Sophia? Yeah, you know how Jesus said the whale went up, right? When Jesus ascended into heaven, right? He went up physically, didn't he? He was standing there, they watched him go up, right? He said, the way you saw me go up is the way I came back. And Jesus is the Bible says, the firstborn of those that have been resurrected. And so we just follow Jesus. The same as we follow Jesus here, we follow him in the resurrection. He got taken up bodily. We're going to get taken up bodily. We get our bodies put back together. All that went to dust and molecules and everything else, God puts that all back together and takes it on up to heaven. It's a little bit more than that, but that's the simple. Yeah, it's a body. It's a body. Shouldn't have opened up questions. That's a can. Good questions, guys. You're making me work.